I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Stick it in, get it out. Get it
out. Stick it in, get it out.
I like the cut
of your Saturday night episode.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't sweat you. Come on.
Come on, Paul. Why don't you screw your head on, right?
No, it ain't my head. Your freaking head is the one on wrong.
Yeah? What did I do?
What'd you do? Nothing. For yourself? Oh, nice. Look, you fixed your face up, handsome. Nice clothes. What'd you do for Paulie? Anything? 3 years if you gave me a job? This. You gave me a lousy, stinking X-Lax watch. This.
Man, I ain't going nowhere.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 434. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today with Brian. He always starts his movies with a montage of the previous movie, Dunaway.
Ah, mostly audio, but I did have to montage it. Mm. Oh, hi. You ever fight a dinosaur, kid? Well, that question was almost answered in the original Rocky III script. Here's the script pitch I found on Rocky Leaks. After winning the ultimate title and being the world champion, Rocky must face his toughest opponent yet, Mr. T, Rex. Who's hungry? After comparing the original script with what eventually made it to the screen, is mostly the same. Polly still don't sweat nobody. There is still a charity wrestling match, face to tits with Thunderlips. Adrian still has a shouting match with Rocco on the beach, making everybody feel uncomfortable. Apollo still slow motion frogs in the ocean with Rocky in his sweaty shorty shorts, making everybody feel uncomfortable. And Mick still dies. But this time, Magic Mick feeds himself to Mr. T, Rex, to hopefully satisfy his hunger to protect Rocky. Doesn't work. What do I predict? Pain. I predict pain, fool.
Face to tits. Man.
Face to tits.
Yeah. Or no, Mr. What was it? Hot Lips. Or no, what was his name?
Thunderlips was his name, and he had to announce everything to his many lovers out there.
Yeah, I forgot he was in this. All right,
I can't wait to talk about the use of Thunderlips as a wrestling name and how effective that would be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Also with us, Randy Thunderlips, the ultimate male Jordan.
Wow. Good job. Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi. Randy.
I ever tell you boys about the time I made a living selling a fancy lifestyle to recently poor people who came into a mountain of new money by beating up black people?
Nope.
Forget I said that last part. Anyway, ow! Stop beating on me. I could kill you with one backhand slap, you dumb old drunk. But yes, you can have a job. Getting drunk, arrested, thrown in jail, bailed out by me, and then throwing a bunch of punches at me in a parking garage is the best way to get a job. Here you go. Now get into my supercar and let's go find the next black guy to make a quietly racist morality tale around. Forget I said that last part.
Yeah, how come all of his opponents were hand-picked black guys?
Yeah.
In the beginning.
We're going to move right on.
Right. I thought maybe he had like some issues to work out, but then he started fighting other, they seem lighter-skinned people.
Lighter-skinned people.
And also Brian Ibbett.
Right.
You can see that one of his opponents was a guy named Big Yank Ball.
Yeah.
Big Yank Ball. Weird.
With us finally, Brian, I think Polly is more work than he's worth, Ibbett.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Rocky, I don't want you to fight Clubber Lang, and if you do, I want no part of it. He's hungry, Rock, and he ain't been hungry in years. And all of a sudden, I'm sounding like Gilbert Gottfried. This is unscripted. He's going to kill you to death inside 3 rounds. He's going to knock you into tomorrow, Rock. Clubber Lang is going to knock you further than tomorrow, Rock. He's going to knock you to the far future where you're going to have to use 3 shells after you go number 2. And then he's going to follow you into the future, Rocky, and he's going to fight you there, too. He's going to knock you even further into the future where you're the law. You're going to be a one-man force of judge, jury, and executioner, but you're going to have a helmet that's so far down your face, Affleck, you won't be able to see. And he's going to follow you into that future, too, and he's going to punch you so hard, something's going to happen that's going to make your mom pick up a gun and you're going to say stop or my mom will shoot. I never saw that one. But if you fight Clubber Lang, Rocky, you're going to do it without me.
I like a world where Gilbert Godfrey is the Mick.
Oh,
exactly.
That's a world we can make. Yeah, we could make that happen now. That could happen.
Right, he could be...
He could be his nephew.
Because we've had Apollo's son. Now we could have Mickey's son.
Yeah.
Mick's son.
Oh, I love Mick's it. Son. I love that he will look just as old as his dad and just as creepy. All right. Well done, everybody. The movie we watched this weekend is Rocky III. Up till my viewing, my favorite of the Rocky films.
Wow.
Did it stick? It's been a while. I mean, I haven't seen it since like... I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, maybe once on DVD or Blu-ray or Blu-ray. We didn't have Blu-ray, VHS maybe.
We're watching them in reverse. We watched Rocky 5 years ago. We watched Rocky 4 like 3 years ago. We're now watching Rocky 3. I'm thinking they're getting better, and you're just going to get to say this again and again.
Well, I'm bummed that we didn't start with Rocky Balboa or there was one called Balboa. I don't know.
There's a couple of movies called Creed.
There's one called Rocky Balboa.
It's called Rocky Balboa. That's number 6, and there's
we need to watch that one.
Yeah, there's a huge gap between 5 and 6. 6.
Oh crud. We're going to have to go all the way back and watch Rocky Balboa. Then we're going to have to start over and watch Rocky 5.
Oh my lord. We can't. Yeah, that's
I'm
the rules.
I'm fine with this. Seriously, I would like that.
No, I wouldn't. I don't want to ever see Drago
again. Most of them are on Netflix right now too, so we got an opportunity right now, right?
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Rocky Balboa is a really good movie. Like a straight up like quality film. They got back to making a good movie. I would say it's more akin to the first one, like a smaller, more independent feeling kind of affair.
And this is being recorded before the new Rambo movie that Stallone said he would never make. So if you're listening to this in the future, that movie's came out. So
hope it was good.
Yeah.
Hope it was good.
Rambo Last Blood, they call it. Literally Last Blood. First movie was called First Blood, so they're really sandwiching this thing in with a couple of pieces of bread there. Now, here's the other thing. The last Rambo movie, 4, I guess, was great. Was it just called John Rambo? Anyway, that was awesome. It was bloody and really murderous, but it was a good movie. Like Stallone, late years, is better at returning to these franchises than people are giving him credit for, and it kind of makes the old stuff seem pretty terrible. So here's the reason I like 3. 3 skirts this line of being the Rocky we've known for 1 and 2, which were more serious takes on, you know, stuff, and they were also about a lot more than boxing, those two movies.
Right.
They're about relationships and, you know, changes in your life and blah, 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 all that stuff. This thing, 3, was like a little bit of that, but you could see them starting to lean hard into this is just about the spectacle of beating the shit out of each other and someone's going to win and who has the better montage and who trained better. And like that was where we were headed.
I wish it was based on who had the better montage.
Yeah, I kind of do too. But But three stood out for me. Maybe it was just the right time in my life or whatever, but I loved three because I thought Mr. T was menacing as hell. I think he still is in this.
He did a great job playing Clubber Lang because he's... Yeah.
For someone whose only real acting had been on a TV reality show at this point, like, wow. Stallone discovered him, so to speak. Like, he saw him on this Tough Man show and decided to go see if he might be right for a role in a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of those, this is one of those revelations. Like, wow, this guy was not a professional actor, had not ever, you know, like, trained or been schooled in acting. And admittedly, he has what, you know, what we've always called on Film Sack, the easy thing, right? Angry mm-hmm. acting. Anyone mm-hmm. can do it.
Oh, there's so much angry acting in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was spot on. Like, it was just really good mm-hmm. for a newcomer.
It was a good match. Yeah. He didn't do, see, A-Team started the next year. So to give people context, we didn't yet know him as the A-Team guy. And a lot of people have it backwards. They think, oh, he was on the A-Team and was popular. And then he showed up in Rocky III because of that. That started, right. And it was actually the reverse. And what's funny about that is that I had always done this too. So I'm mm-hmm. people are not alone.
But same here. Yeah.
If you guys had assumed that the phrase "I pity the fool" came from the A Team, he never right. actually utters that on the A Team ever. He only ever said right, it in right. Rocky III. So that one tagline that follows him wherever he goes, "I pity the fool," is straight up a Rocky thing.
He didn't and that's just it. Say it in Rocky. He said it in life. If there'd have been social media then, it seemed like every time I saw him in a commercial or anything, he was always saying.
Oh yeah, he loved, you know, he grabbed onto it and ran with it for sure. But
yeah.
But until this viewing, I didn't realize that it was.
He did say fool a lot. He comes across really well when he says fool. You really feel berated when he calls you fool. Doesn't he? Just like, wow, I just got called fool by Mr. T. Yeah. Guess I am.
Some people have a command of they have a command of one word and they just use it so well. And his is fool.
I'll tell you
for sure.
I'll tell you the other thing that I think a lot of people have backwards is that Stallone wrote First Blood earlier than he actually did. He actually made three Rocky movies and Paradise Alley before he wrote First Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of remarkable. You might think of it as, oh, he was trying to stand up these two different franchises at the same time, and it's not true.
Yeah.
He didn't have First Blood until Rocky III was in the can, and you know, there had been like 7 years of Rocky in his life at that time.
Right.
You know, I saw a lot of criticism for this when I went back and read old reviews for Rocky III, and the main criticism, and I remember this very well, people said, oh, it's just more of the same. Just more of the same. But I think they were getting confused with the formula that Stallone, you know, he had this basic formula, you know, Rocky loses the first fight and then he mm-hmm. wins the second. And it's kind
right,
of
he
like
comes just, back stronger. It makes him hungry or makes him want it more. And so you have to have a training montage. And mm-hmm.
But he's more like the character is more like a superhero. And it's kind of like he fits within this framework. But there's all these other things going on because Rocky, his character's in a different place. He's never been on top before. And I enjoyed watching part three where he's on top and you know he's the one that's no longer hungry and he's got to mm-hmm. fight. Now it's the other side, and I enjoyed the exploration.
So, I was making some notes last night. You could almost imagine that he planned out the first four films mm-hmm. that he had a general outline of this thing where in the first movie Rocky is just down and out. Like he the first movie is a Treasure Was the Friends You Made Along the Way movie, and it's really right. not about rising to the top or redemption. It's a
moral
realizing
victory.
That you got to work,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
And in this, by the way, in this framing, the city of Philadelphia is itself a character,
and so
in the first one, he is fighting against the city, like the city is constructed to keep him down. He literally yells famously that I love this whole place stinks.
Mm-hmm.
In the second film, he becomes of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so, like, it's the place where he's training. It's the thing that in energizes him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is an actual climb the mountain and reach the top movie. And then the third film is about how hard it is to do anything once you're on the top of the mountain. And the city is, again, this different thing now.
the city you know, no longer is fighting against him, and it's no longer lifting him up. It's just, you know, crazy. It's like making an ugly ass statue, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
His likeness must be really difficult to capture because every painting and statue just look nothing like him.
Yeah.
Nothing
like him. I don't know why that was. That was weird. Because I'm
my
sure.
My other fan theory while I was watching this was almost instantly after Polly asked for a job, the next thing is them revealing the statue and Rocky looking at it like, I should have never given Polly the job to get the statue. And I wanted to think that was a story that we never got, but I don't know.
Yeah. He's, what was the thing that Polly kept saying that you brought up in your opener? What was it?
Don't sweat me. Yeah, it's like, I don't sweat you. I don't sweat you.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell is that? No one says that. Polly's the only human.
Polly does.
Too many times. I hated that. Anyway, I didn't know Rocky III and First Blood came out the same year. To me, those are like 8 years apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
First Blood feels like it came out in the 70s, right?
It does. It really does. It feels like a 70s film. And I guess these, you know, Rocky III is 82. Rocky III feels older or newer than 82. And I don't know why it does. I think maybe that song continued on so much. Oh, we were all playing it in Rock Band a decade ago. Like, Staying
Alive. Yeah, that's it. I want you to replace Eye of the Tiger with Staying Alive.
You can tell by the way I
get my songs mixed up.
You can tell by the way I ride my motorcycle on the top of the Philadelphia Museum of Art steps. They let you do that? Yep. Really?
I love that he did that. And then, you know, he's been wearing a helmet because he's trying to protect what he's got, but then he throws the helmet at the statue and says,
I've shot too. Mm-hmm. Like, awesome helmet's shot. A tough thing to throw because it's got a lot of weight on the opposite side of where you're throwing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I've done it, but I assume.
Not
that I've ever been angry enough after a bike ride that I've grabbed my helmet and just thrown it off, but
and thrown it at a statue of yourself. That happens all the time.
Hey, what's the name of the porny thing he made?
I think it was called the Italian Stallion. I think that's where that nickname came from.
Oh no, here it is: the party at Kitty and Studs, and he was Stud.
Oh yeah,
but he played a character called the Italian Stallion. Is that the deal?
He was Stud, whatever that means.
That's what he calls himself.
I think that may have come from Rocky. Now that you say
I think there's a little bit of urban legend going on there. I think,
I guess that's where
I'm not sure.
Gotten it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was also under the impression it came from his weird porn thing or his, I guess, I don't know if that thing was full on porn or not, but it was close. And it was,
I got some pizza here.
1970, the party of Kitty and Studs.
Yeah.
There's something that references the tagline. Oh, okay, this is where it came from. The movie poster that they re-released after the popularity of Rocky says, before he was Rocky, he was and still is the Italian Stallion.
Oh, all right. That's fine.
Clever.
Those guys.
Also, where do you hang up a porno poster? Just curious. I'm just...
on the wall. That's where it goes.
Right.
So in that gross glass case that sits in front of the porno theater that is... that is so caked over that it's hard to see the poster underneath.
His second movie is called The Sidelong Glances of a Pigeon Kicker. I've never heard of that.
So we're all over the place on this movie. Like, it's hard to even get started and to crawl through it. And I don't know why, but it starts for me with a poster that says Rocky 3-4 times. And I don't understand why it doesn't say Rocky 3-3 times.
Right.
Or why it doesn't just say Rocky, 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 or what? Like, why is it on there 4 times? So I'm digging the internet. I'm staying up late.
Right.
I can't go to sleep. I'm like, why is this poster designed wrong?
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the graphic designer who came up with that masthead thing was like, well, it just sort of fades in the back. It's like a big cool thing, and it'll just kind of keep going backwards.
I thought it was the bell ring. Isn't that how I imagine it's ding, 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 ding?
Interesting. I don't know.
So the best explanation I can find is that when you make a poster that says Rocky 3-3 times, the way it looks is like you've spelled out KKK and someone can circle that.
And all right, I can see these, that. I can see that.
These movies already have a racism problem from the beginning, right? Yeah. From
I'm
before
need
the
you to
first
go ahead
movie
and put
ever
another
comes
another
out.
Rocky on there.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, maybe this is why the strategic placement of his body. He's covering the two other Ks.
Covering two of the Ks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. But it is accurate to the film because the film tells me Rocky III. I think three times before the movie actually starts.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you get it zipping across the screen and then you get it in like little MTV block letters in the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
Like, didn't we already know this? I thought you already told me this was Rocky III.
Have any of you ever seen a movie that begins with two separate montages?
No, not in the beginning, which really threw me. And the one montage was just like a recap. Here's Rocky II and what happened last time on Rocky, right?
Right.
And that was very...
That's the credits, right? The credits roll.
Yeah, but it was really montage-y. Yeah.
But then the other montage was like, here's what Sylvester Stallone has been doing. He was on The Muppet Show and he was on The Tonight Show. And
well, they were using that to juxtapose it as like, hey, that was Rocky, not Sylvester Stallone.
Of course. Yes.
And when I saw The Muppet one, I went, wait, I don't remember him being on there. Did they do that just for this movie? But he had been. He was a guest on there.
And we have to also recognize this film takes place in an alternate universe. And this really got to me. In this alternate universe, pro wrestling is real. And you don't have to sell your opponent's moves in this universe.
Yeah.
In this universe, a pro wrestler can actually do a superplex with you not participating. They can just do that. Mm-hmm. And that was bizarre to me because it was hard to go back in time for it because, you know, like pro wrestling changed in the 90s and everyone started admitting it was this other kind of athletics with, you know, theatrics and everyone agrees that the opponent has to sell his opponent's moves. And so like, it was just weird. This doesn't take place on Earth. It takes place in this other universe, you know?
It's very weird. And also I know that people think I'm crazy, especially because this is my favorite Rocky movie, but I do not remember Hulk Hogan being the wrestler. I just have no memory of it. So when he came on I went, oh shit. Freaking Big Lips is him? What weird.
Big Lips.
Thunder Lips.
Okay, let's talk about Thunder Lips as a wrestler name. Like how you want your wrestling name to be number one identifiable, but also to be a little bit menacing, right? Like
right.
Andre the Giant and
Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
What does Thunder Lips tell you? Like that he's just going to kiss you really hard and
total right, ladies right. man, male specimen, freaking
the ultimate male.
Yeah.
Is that the deal? Is that what it's supposed to
be? That's what they're like, supposed to do, but what it doesn't do that for me.
Men's lips in the 70s and I don't remember this.
We had hot lips in the 70s for MASH, so maybe
right. She was a woman and that was
magic lips.
So this is the trope of the atrocious alias, right?
Okay.
And it's all over movies, especially action movies for some reason, like movies that have any kind of thrilling element or just outright, you know, car chases and stuff. They seem to always have a person in them with an atrocious alias. Mm. And by the way, I made a promise to someone, I don't remember who now, like 5 years ago that I would never mention Boogie Nights again on FilmSec, but I'm back. And one of the best ever atrocious alias examples is the name Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, that is so freaking lame.
But he's not the opponent. I mean, he's the main character that we're following.
Okay, Guardians 2, we have Taserface. How about that?
Okay, sure. Taserface is good. I'll accept Taserface.
Well, but Taserface has comic origins, so they weren't going to change it, you know? Right? Like that character existed in the comics.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay.
I'm just saying there's precedence for that kind of lame name. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. All right. How about McLovin from Superbad? Is that?
That's pretty
that's
bad.
A good example. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all not right. just pretty bad. It's super bad.
Yeah. I think the judge will allow that. Hey,
while we're on the subject of wrestlers, we can't forget to mention Joey Image. Is he? He's getting married tomorrow. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, Joey. It's
tomorrow. Yeah, Sunday, I believe.
Sunday.
Oh, he said Sunday.
He said Sunday. No, I thought he did.
Nobody gets married on a Sunday.
Maybe you're right.
I performed one on a Tuesday once. That was weird. So,
Tuesday.
You never know.
Congratulations to our friend, but Joey, don't listen to this part. Hulk Hogan is one of our worst living human beings. He's like a true real life villain. Like, seriously, in real life, Hulk is a vile human being.
Yeah.
And it's one of those weird things that when you're watching this movie, you have to take your brain back in time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. Like, knowing that Hulk Hogan is freaking evil in real life. Like, I want to access some of that, you know, because he's a bad guy in the movie. You kind of want to access a little bit of it. But no, he's not Hulk Hogan in this movie. He's Thunderlips.
Yeah.
It still kind of
works, as the way they're booing for him and stuff. Like, I felt all right about booing for that guy. It was all right.
Well, he was one of the few wrestlers that made that change, right? Because he was like a good guy for the longest time, and then he became a bad guy in the wrestling world. Now, I don't know anything about Hulk. I don't know anything about Hulk Hogan's real life. I can't say whether he's trash or not. I don't know. I don't read anything about him. I don't know anything about him. I just enjoy a stupid Suburban Commando thing.
You didn't hear about any of the Gawker stuff?
I saw headlines like, okay, whatever. Wrestler mad at other gossip mag. That's as much trash as I don't. I'm just gonna push that over.
It's just in. Wrestler mad at gossip mag.
Yeah.
Right now.
I feel like I wish I was you, because all of that did me no good. There was no edifying of my soul to be found in the Gawker versus what's his real name? Shithead McGee.
Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea mess was one of my least favorite things I ever had to even bother with. So I kind of envy Dunaway's ignorance in this case.
Yes, I don't even remember him being a bad guy though in wrestling. Like, I thought
he started wearing all black and everything. Yeah. And he started dyeing dyed his hair black, and his goatee was still blonde or something.
Did he just stop dyeing his hair blonde?
When he moved from WWF to WCW in the 90s, there was this whole bad boys of wrestling thing going on, and he started, like, they were all doing this thing where they were all having these ridiculous black, like, painted beards. And so his whole look changed to black.
Oh, tell me he did like Mirror Universe, Star Trek.
That's what they were all doing. Every one of these guys that were called the NWO. And it was just like the dumbest freaking thing.
Why did I never get into wrestling?
Yeah,
no,
I can't
it sounds
imagine.
Great.
Yeah, no, doesn't it sound wonderful?
Hey, that stuff, you can watch all that stuff on YouTube. You want to have a fun day? Well, that's what you do. You go back and watch that old wrestling crap on YouTube. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about
that. Monster trucks.
Hulk Hogan's just a rotten human being. And in real life, I agree with Scott. I wish I didn't know. I wish I hadn't followed the nonsense of that trial because it was so bad. Like, it's like, how do we let him live, you know? And
I just can't understand this hate. I just thought it was a tiff because they had some compromising videos of him or something, and that he was against them and wanted to shut them down. I didn't know it was anything.
Oh,
he's
all N-words and affairs with his best friend's wife, and just he's gross.
See, I did good.
Yeah, you did good. You avoided it. Well done.
Like, until now.
If you really want to read about him and Peter Thiel going to court and making up this entire huge lie about you can be two people at once, it's insane. There's great articles out there like that run down the whole thing. But in this movie, he's amazing. Like, he is perfect. They couldn't have. I was thinking about who were all the pro wrestlers back then, and they could have gotten Andre the Giant. They could have gotten all kinds of people. But man, he was amazing. And specifically, I think he was cast because he's a foot taller than Stallone. That alone made it so.
Why are you measuring my tits? Well, we need to see if your eyes will meet Rocky's.
that was weird, because I don't think of Stallone as shorter, although just about everybody in Hollywood is, but I don't think of him as that much shorter. And so seeing those two eye to eye and not a close up, but them standing next to each other, not on top of something to make it seem worse. Legitimately.
He's 7 foot tall, right? Hulk Hogan somewhere around there?
No, he's 6'4". He's like my height. Six, but,
four? Oh, really?
But an act,
I guess
but
that was just, I guess it's planned up in the movie, it says seven foot,
yeah, but he's not. Yeah. He's like 6'4", but that's the thing. Compared to the rest of Hollywood, all tall people are just gargantuan.
Well, and all his life, Stallone has been pushing this lie that he's 5'10", and of course, he's not at all. He's not even close. And you just, like, anytime you get a picture of him, like, on the red carpet, and he's next to Tom Cruise. He's the same height as Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is at least 3 inches shorter than 5'10". And they all wear those lifts, you know, those shoes that have the huge high heel soles, for men.
Yeah. Uh-huh. By the way, Tom Cruise, only 2'3".
Yes.
Yeah. 2'3".
All tooth, all middle tooth.
Just it's about. All on, it's on his Wikipedia page. I'm writing it right now.
Okay, good. Get that in IMDb trivia as well. I want that set to be.
I will, yes.
Remain as accurate as possible.
Only if you guys click it and say that you found it useful.
Yeah. For example, okay, let's talk about height some more. During the making of Rocky III, 82, which is when that came out, a 9-foot-tall, 150-pound or 1,500-pound bronze statue was designed by A. Thomas Schoenberg and placed at the top of the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Arts. After filming Rap, Sylvester Stallone tried to donate the statue to the museum, but they said they didn't want it. They're like, we don't want this thing. It sparked a huge debate between the museum and the city's art commission about what constituted art. The museum claimed that the statue was nothing more than a movie prop and didn't want it. Local people were outraged, and the statue was ultimately placed in front of the Wachovia Spectrum in South Philadelphia. It was later returned to the art museum for the filming of Rocky V in 1990, after which it was again moved back to the Spectrum. Later, the statue was put into storage and then moved to a park at the foot of the famous stairs leading to the Philadelphia Museum of Arts. That's where it is today. So
it's interesting how occasionally something will come along that bucks common sense and where things have been, not necessarily common sense, but where things have been art-wise, because mm-hmm. no one really considered Rocky III any type of art at the time. But as you get further away from it, you start realizing that it was a piece. It was something that was forming and changing the landscape.
Yeah.
And now it seems like art.
It's the
right?
Rocky legacy is what that thing represents in retrospect. Like if you're going to have a giant right. Rocky statue, now would be the time that you'd put it up and say, just like, you know, the RoboCop statue that's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's even dumber, in my opinion. A freaking RoboCop. Like, how stupid is that? But, you know, it means something because your city was a big part of that movie.
It represents, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Detroit needs something like that.
So if I were Philadelphia, I think it'd be great to say, yeah, we got all this other stuff. Plus, you know, we're kind of into Rocky here. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong
people
with that.
People definitely had a love-hate relationship when these movies were coming out, especially like 3. Mm. Because I think everybody wanted to love them, but it was kind of getting to be a bit much, and we were all kind of like Rocky burnout. And
it was a little cartoony, right? We were starting to get cartoony with it. Yep. And that's what I would say about this particular movie. They got 1 foot in each half. They got the artistic half still trying to make its way, and they got this foot in this other half. And the artistic half had great moments. Like Mickey's death was pretty damn good, like really affecting. And
fantastic.
Other than Rocky's weird cry, it was weird. But the actual, like, you know, him leaving and him telling him that they won, even though he didn't, and saying, you know, the knockout was in 2 rounds, which is all true, but it was on the other side. Like, it was very affecting stuff.
Oh, Pinocchio, your nose will grow. Don't tell the lies, man.
It was really good. And then on the other hand, you got Mohawk Man, you know, B.A. Baracus over there just hamming it up. And you'd had no idea that Rocky IV, which would be just around the corner, would have a robot servant in it. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
So that was when we were done. That's when I went, oh, okay.
Yeah. I know Rocky IV made Rocky III look like high art, right?
Yep.
But I got to say,
Meredith
though.
Got out just in time.
Yeah.
Right. Rocky IV, though, I have love for Rocky IV because I have more fun watching Rocky IV than just about any of the rest of them. Now, I don't necessarily say it's the best one. It's just, I think it's the most fun for me.
I'll give you that. There's a good time to be had. And, you know, it's, again, they lean full into the cartoon world.
Yeah.
And it's okay to enjoy that. But it wouldn't be until Rocky Balboa that it was like, and 5 was just abysmal. 5 was just a bad film.
Yeah, Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy Gunn.
That was shit.
You like my son, except you ain't my son.
Well, there's 3 spots in this movie where the actors have to actually act. And like you remember, oh, Stallone actually writes dialogue. It's not just montages.
Yeah.
There's when he follows Mickey to the mansion and Mickey's packing his bags and they talk to each other and the truth is born. And then there's him and Carl Weathers realizing that he doesn't have it in him, that he's afraid, right? Mm-hmm. There's that whole thing. And then there's the immediate scene after that where he and Talia Shire have to actually act outside. And, you know, she has all the dialogue there. And those 3 scenes, like, are a reminder that this is actual filmmaking. It's not just a boxing movie, you know? And like, that's the problem with these things is we too easily just look back and go, oh, right. And there were some boxing movies, you know, like, no, like Stallone actually cares about dialogue and cares about acting. It's just hard to place it in amongst all of the montages and all of the sounds of a snare drum when someone lands a punch.
You know? Well, that's why I would highly recommend people watch Rocky Balboa, because it's a return to that.
But it's some of
his best work ever, like straight up.
Right. But do you get as excited as you do in Rocky III? I'm sitting here watching this Rocky III with headphones on because I'm trying to be kind of quiet because everybody else is slumbering.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching Rocky III with my headphones on, and I find myself in the fight, kind of like when I do in a good horror movie. When I say good, I mean bad. I'm like, Rocky, pick up your gloves, man. Block. I'm just like practically screaming in on the inside at my screen for him to just, you know, put his hands up.
Mm-hmm.
Block. Oh my God. Will you just please block?
Yeah, no, and there's some
if
of the
movie can make you emotionally feel that way. That's an amazing
thing. I still say the fights in Rocky are some of the best choreographed fight scenes in film. But the sound work in this movie is really abysmal. It's very bad.
Foley or the it's not even Foley work stuff. Because you want to add Foley noises for things that are really happening, and not this. Every time Clubber Lang takes a swing,
and every swing and every hit is the same exact sound.
I almost brought down a watermelon that I could slap on the show here, but we ate it this week.
Oh, that's too bad.
We didn't get Ibbit slapping the watermelon.
Okay. I know. Sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Did Stallone also edit the movie? I know he acted, starred in it, but did he edit? Because there was some interesting edits. There was some voiceover work, but whoever did the editing also did some audio shifting. So like sometimes it would be entering a building and they may like shift the audio from something that was obviously recorded in the movie, but happened at a later time, already inside the building.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense, a little shifting on the audio, time shifting.
He doesn't have edit credit, but I guarantee he was in, you know, poking his head in there all
probably
the time.
Probably so. What are you doing there? What's going on?
It's weird how this film does this riches to rags thing about his training after he loses his belt, because I understand, but he on the script, it's way too far. You don't either direction. You don't go. No one. I don't care how famous and rich you are. No one would have established that hotel ballroom training nonsense. No one ever. And then on the other end, no one would have gone to a place where it's so flea infested and you know, like dirty, like just dirty. Mm. There's no way, like even in the early 80s, that they go to LA and they go to like the worst imaginable back alley gym.
Yeah. Magic Nick's place look clean, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They check into the hotel. It's not even a hotel. I don't know what it is. They check into some like hostel. You know, it's like, what? They have all this money. I don't understand what's happening.
Well, the goal was
Rocky had to get back, right?
Yeah, they had to get back to his basics. And I get why they were doing that. I felt like they kind of laid it on a little thick for sure. But I get the point. Like when they were showing the montage of him working out in the ballroom with all the fans and the dancing ladies and everything else, which is super stupid. Then they would cut to Clubber Lang in some dirty, dank basement doing pull-ups on pipes.
Doing his Rocky.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, which was effective in the sense that I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna win this fight. this is gonna be one of those where I remember even as, you know, a kid going, oh yeah, this Mr. T is gonna win this particular fight, and then probably by the end he'll get to try again, but this is it, he's done. And
And I haven't even said it yet on the show, but this was my first time viewing Rocky III. I mean, I pretty much knew.
I knew,
all right, Mr. T's in this, new Clubber Lang, but that's really about all I knew about it. But I kind of could have written this. I enjoyed it, but I could have basically said, all right, Rocky, full of himself after being on top, gets complacent, gets the crap beat out of him, and comes back stronger and harder in the end.
Yeah. So then Ibbit, what was like confusing or you know, like hard to understand about this?
There was nothing hard to understand about this film. I haven't even seen Rocky II, and there was nothing that I couldn't. I felt like I saw Rocky II because you see the first, the last 5 minutes of Rocky II at the beginning of Rocky III.
You saw the important bits of Rocky I and II, actually.
I think so. Yeah, because you get Rocky I, right? Adrian, I did it, Adrian.
That's totally it.
But I have seen Rocky I, and now I've seen 5, 4, 3. No, I guess I haven't seen 5 yet.
We saw five together. We watched five.
Did we sack 5? Okay, yeah. I remember 4. I didn't remember 5.
5 is very bad. 5 is a mistake.
Maybe I completely blocked 5 out of my... Oh, yeah, I do remember 5 now.
Five is when they abandon it until, 2012 or something.
Right.
Like they were like, this is very bad. We should not have done this. And then Stallone's like, I'm going to go do a million other things and not this. And then... I'll return to it when I'm old. and I highly recommend I don't know if I recommend it for FilmSack because I think it's just too good of a straight up movie. But Rocky Balboa is awesome.
Yeah, Rocky VI is actually a good film. Like you could even drop all of the boxing out of it and just watch what remains, and it's a good movie.
Yeah. There's not much boxing in it even. It's like not even about the boxing so much.
The thing I would want to sack it for is that Stallone famously did steroids like a fiend before filming that movie, and you can tell.
Yeah.
It's like all over that film that, oh, this is what an actor looks like when they've been roided out to the nth degree.
Yeah, his testicles are like dried up tiny little blueberries. Ooh, just little
raisins.
Yeah, little raisins. They're hard. They're hard raisins. You could hit them with a hammer, and they just go ding, ding. Yeah, that's how that went. If I had a recommendation for the listeners, it would be do not discount that as a weird, like, late life return to, attempted return to glory, because it actually is good. In the same way that Creed was very good, and Sylvester Stallone's, it was barely a role. It's more of a cameo, but it was a strong one in that movie, is also an excellent follow-up to all of this. Creed's great. Creed is I haven't seen the new Creed, what's it called? The one where he fights Drago's kid or nephew or something? Yeah, Creed. Is it just Creed 2?
I think it's just Creed 2, right?
Just Creed
like Rocky.
2,
Rocky 2.
And Creed. It's like
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan's movie with, and the kid is, or the guy, his opponent is Drago's kid, right? Isn't that the whole schmear there? I love that idea. And I guess Stallone's in that again.
Speaking of Apollo, man, them legs.
Yeah,
man, if I had them legs, those are some sweet legs, man. I wear some shorty shorts too.
Hey, going especially back like 20 years, there was always this, Carl Weathers versus Billy D. Williams thing. Sorry, that's not a contest. Carl Weathers is a beast.
He is a beast. My gosh, dude, I had forgotten, because these days you see him in a big overcoat and a in a hat, and that's all he wears, and he's probably just like a big pear under there. I don't know. But in this thing, holy shit, he is freaking ripped. When he is yelling at Stallone for not keeping up with his punches or whatever, getting all angry acting and stuff, he is just a big pulsing man muscle.
Man muscle. Ultimate man.
He is so big in this. It's
Jamie, I know you don't do clips from other shows, but...
He does, actually.
I got some for you.
That's right. He's from Core and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
He's gotten he's from got film this sack one, before as well, so he'll do it. But anyway, now you're making me want to see Creed 2, because I've yet to see him fight the Drago kid. I kind of want to see. And you know that what's his name's in that too. Dolph Lundgren is a retired old boxer.
Yeah. I'm sad to know, because of the facts of Rocky IV, that Apollo Creed can't be in any of these movies.
Right.
That makes me sad, because I really like Carl Weathers. Yeah. I feel like he is so perfect for this role. Like in the previous films, he plays a showboat, right? And then he gets dethroned and he gets a little humility. And like, I love this. Rocky III is Apollo Creed's best movie.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Okay. Did you guys see, did you ever see, did we watch Action Jackson here on the show?
No, but we should.
Hold on.
No.
Is that true? No. Are we sure we didn't?
I'm pretty sure we did. No, we talked about
I've never seen Action Jackson.
We talked about it, but we never got to do it.
Okay. Let me look here, because I swear I've I swear we it's yes we the, did do it. We list. Did do it. Back in 5/26/11, 2011, yeah, episode 75, the one about Action Jackson. We totally did.
If you asked me today, I'd be with Ibbot. I've never seen Action Jackson.
Was I there that week?
You were there. All of us were there. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. I remember I remember us talking about Vanity. That's the only thing I remember from that episode was that we talked about Vanity.
Yeah, she was the girlfriend in that, wasn't she?
Yeah, there's also a hold on. I want to find this line. Jackson. I think I saved
it. Oh, this was like 77. I wasn't even paying attention when we were back on 77, right? Is that right?
75.
Oh my gosh.
You were so cogent and
yeah, you were with him.
I was totally. That was back in my
kidding,
yeah.
He's kidding. Come on.
Okay, here's the
that was my Xanax days. Everything was in it. Right.
I have a clip from it here.
Where the hell is Jackson?
Where the hell is Jackson? Remember that clip? That's from that movie.
Nice.
Well, anyway, I kind of thought we hadn't seen it either. But anyway, Action Jackson from 88. I felt like there was a moment in time there where Carl Weathers was looking like a hot new star. Things were going to go his way. And then it just kind of petered out. And it kind of bums me out.
Yeah, people just weren't writing roles for him.
Yeah.
You know, like there just was like Predator is the perfect example. He's amazing. But he's in a all-star cast, right? And it's a cast of characters that all get killed off real quickly, right?
I do love him in that. He's the one that gets his arm blown off, and he's like shooting his other gun with the one arm he has left while his stump's flailing in the air. Why haven't we done Predator? What is wrong with us? That we haven't
I got
done.
Predator in 3D.
I don't want to say that we haven't done Predator because maybe we've done Predator.
Yeah, we could have. We've done like three Predator movies. No, so I don't know.
Hold on. We've done
Predators.
I used Predators.
To watch Predator just about every 6 months. It's been a while.
Here are the two.
I don't think we've done the first Predator.
Here are the two Predator movies. We did Predators 145. That was back in 2012.
Yeah, we did Predators. Yeah, I knew
and
that
we did a year before that. We did the one about Predator 2. So we've done the Danny
Glover
movie.
Glover.
Yes.
Yeah. We should do the first Predator. What is wrong with us? We suck. Mm-hmm. What's wrong? Why are we bad at this?
Are we so bad?
Yeah. Why are we terrible? Because that seems like an egregious error on our part that we haven't done Predator yet. Anyway, I would love to watch that. But yeah, Carl Weathers, man, he's good in this. And I don't know that his acting was super top notch in this, but I'd like the way the role went. Like it was
right. His enthusiasm is all he really needed. He needed to be frustrated with Rocky. Like we as an audience were frustrated with Rocky.
Yeah.
So that he played that role very well.
And we never find out who won that fight, the favor fight at the end. We don't know.
Of course, it was a draw. Yeah.
But I mean,
they hugged for a long time at the end.
In slow motion. Yeah.
In slow motion.
I'll guarantee you they sloppily smacked each other on the side of the face. Right after, like I'll guarantee it. Like the way like they you can tell they went in and are like, okay, we're gonna actually throw punches that land. We're actors, so we don't know how to do that. So we're just gonna go for it. Hope we get it on the first take.
I'm curious. Now I've seen a lot of horror movies, so I have a good idea of what a lot of makeup blood and fake blood is made out of. But what do they make the flop sweat out of? Because there's a lot of flop sweat in this, and I'm just curious. Is
Kero
there a guy
syrup
just
and vinegar?
Kerosene and vinegar.
Oh,
interesting.
Gosh, dang it, dude! That sounds horrible. that smell bad.
When Pauly gets it spit on him, that's why he jumps back. So, oh,
oh, you can't. You mentioned gross moment. So hold on.
Oh,
yeah, that's the moment of gross. Apparently that was not planned. It was a goof, and they kept it in. So his upsetness at being spit on like that was real.
Right. I get it, man. Yeah. I get it, Pauly. I'm with you.
Yeah. I caught another goof, and I was surprised it's not on IMDb. There's a spot early in the movie where Rocky and Mickey are in the corner, and something's happening
Nobody
in the middle
puts
of the ring.
Rocky in a corner.
And Rocky is going to go to the middle of the ring. He wants to take Mickey with him. Mm-hmm. And Stallone says, "Come on, Burgess." And it was clear as day.
Clear really? Day. Come he on, said, Burgess. "Come on, Burgess."
Yeah.
I missed that. Shoot.
And I went back and I'm like, and I turned on the closed captioning and the closed captioning mysteriously disappears for that line.
Weird.
That line is not captioned. And I'm here to tell you, everything in this movie is subtitled. Things people are shouting in a crowd are subtitled in this movie.
Yeah.
But mysteriously, when he says, "Come on, Burgess," that's not subtitled. So it's a clear goof.
And how much of this movie do you think is really scripted? Because it very much feels like it's
All right, well, what we want to do in this scene is basically end up with da 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 happening.
Yeah.
Get there however you want. Because it feels like there's a lot of that thing you do when you're improvising where you repeat stuff a lot. I'll fight you tomorrow. I'll fight you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll fight you tomorrow.
And that's fine because he wrote and he's directing it, right? So, I mean, I guess he can kind of make that call on the fly. He's like, oh, you get the character. Let's just roll with it. Let's
I mean, especially with the fighting and the yelling and the sort of smack talk stuff, I'll bet none of that's scripted. I think that's just them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's stuff where Mr. T was yelling at the unveiling of the statue that I think was probably
shut up,
scripted.
Old man.
Yeah. Some of that was probably scripted, but...
I love seeing him brood in the audience and everything. Oh,
he's great,
like he
dude.
Does. Just like just shows up, just stands there,
scratching his nose,
glares at him.
That's it's by far the most unrealistic thing in the movie. Yeah. It's the way that Clubber Lang treats his own fans, like that, right. Because he doesn't ever gain any. Like he's always present. Everything Rocky does. How is he always present?
It's almost like
and
a
yet
it's
he
a
doesn't
stock,
have fans.
It's like a stalker movie. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, he's like a, and the whole thing is he's kind of like he's a bad wrestler, right? I mean, that's essentially his character role. He's a boxer, but he really displays portrays the bad guy wrestler.
Sort of. I mean, he came from, so my understanding is that dude outside of that reality show Randy brought up earlier, before that, he was a bouncer in a bar. And then that's where he got noticed and then said, hey, you should do some of this stuff. And things kind of just went from there. He was also ripped like a monster in this, just like
monster.
I forget in my memory he wasn't that buff. In this thing he looked like, you know what, 1.5% body fat or something, just insane amount of rip. And same with Rocky, all of them, they're all just beasts in this thing, which it really adds to it. Like as much as some of the stuff doesn't hold up and the hairdos are bad and the 80s looking house kind of sucks and all that stuff, the shape these guys are in really helps sell it. And maybe that's true of all the Rocky movies, but in 3 in particular, I feel like, I just feel like everybody's top of their game kind of thing.
Yeah, it helps.
Mm-hmm. Clubber Lang, by the way. Okay, so he has story after this, but Stallone's never put it on film. Stallone says, Clubber Lang later became a born-again Christian and is a ringside announcer in the future.
No, I like that.
Yep.
I love that we've got like
I paid a fool, don't believe in Christ.
Clubber Lang lore. Yeah.
Well, it's because all of these, Brian, all these movies have novelizations, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
All of these movies.
Every movie in the 70s and 80s did, didn't it? I mean,
they did.
And so Stallone had oversight of these extended stories. Like the novelization had a backstory for Mr. T that you got to, I'm sorry, Clubber Lang, that you got to find out about. And then an afterword and so on, and he would add to them later. Like 10 years later, Stallone was still like he was like J.K. Rowling is on Harry Potter.
Extended Rocky universe. I love it.
According to an interview given by Mr. T, he attended the movie's premiere with his mother, who famously he has that song, Treat Your Mother Right, Treat Her Right, that thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anyway, he took her to that, and during the scene where he yells lurid remarks at Adrian, where he's going, hey, pretty woman, come on, meet me back at my place.
Show you what a real man looks like. Yeah.
Don't be a fool. Come with me, whatever. His mother turned to him and said, I did not raise you to talk to a lady like that. And she stormed out of the theater. I hope that's true. I hope that's true, but I don't know if it is. And then, so here's a great piece of trivia, because I was talking to Ibbot about this very song like 2 days ago. The song titled You're the Best, performed by Joe Esposito, was recorded for this movie. It was meant for this movie. Stallone didn't like it. Yeah, he rejected it in favor of Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. You're the Best was later used by The Karate Kid in 84, a couple years later. Coincidentally, Survivor performed the theme song, The Moment of Truth, for The Karate Kid. So that's kind of funny. But
both songs are good, but I definitely think Eye of the Tiger is more appropriate. It's,
Rising up! I mean, the problem with Eye of the Tiger is I think of it outside of the movie too much, whereas You're the Best, I think of as absolutely a montage in a fighting movie. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like Eye of the Tiger can live outside of the movie. It can exist.
Yeah, and it's odd how they did, because it was 82. I would have assumed that they would have had a music video, which they made a couple years later, that would have been, you know, shots from the movie, but it's not. It's just them walking just them down the street.
Singing.
By the way, dorkiest keyboardist ever.
Yep.
Sorry, but he is.
Yeah. Sorry, keyboard man. You're pretty bad.
Fits right in with my crowd.
Yep.
We would have totally hung out.
Do any of you have favorite walkout songs for fighters? Like, this could be wrestling, this could be boxing, this could be UFC. They all have their walkout songs. You might remember for 20 years or something, Hulk Hogan had his song "A Real American" and this kind of thing. Anybody?
I mean, you gotta go. You gotta go AC/DC or Ozzy Osbourne, right? I mean, those are your.
Oh, wrestling. Back in Black or TNT or something like that.
I'm pissing a whoop down on you. Here it comes.
Yeah, I think AC/DC is a good call. I can't think of anyone's actual one, so I couldn't really pick a favorite. But if I was gonna have one, it'd be like AC/DC probably, and you could almost go with anything. TNT's great.
I followed the UFC real closely for a while, and Michael Bisping coming out to the Blur song number two was so hot.
Is that the song? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Blur song number two.
All right. That's just what you say when you've dropped a good number two. You go, woohoo! At least I do.
Is that from the splashback or is that from just...
That's the splashback.
Release.
Always. Okay. Yeah, the release. Morgan Freeman auditioned for the role of Clubber Lang's trainer. Didn't get it, but...
I can see that. That sounds like a little fakeness, though, to me.
Well, it could be.
Let's take a moment for Tony Burton. That guy is amazing.
Yeah, but he hardly had anything to do in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a lot more involved in the next one because he becomes sort of the replacement, right? Like,
right.
His fighter dies and Rocky's trainer is now dead, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's a perfect match. But, man, Tony Burton's so good. Yeah. I want him in everything.
Yeah, he is good. I think... Apollo Creed got stupid in the fourth movie. Like in this one, he's so level-headed and so like learned his lessons, and now I'm post-retirement and I've got a new lease on life.
You know, I mean, he's
And then he gets into the next movie.
Maybe that final punch from Rocky from three, just you know,
like what we don't see after the credits roll and that ding 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 fight.
I guess honestly, because who won?
Because in four, Rocky. He puts on the stupid hat and the dumb shorts and the.
Right.
All that and goes out there and just immediately dies at the hand of a Russian psychopath. So it's just dumb how that all turned out. Four, I'm so conflicted on four.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about Tony Burton. He was on an episode of The A-Team. Mm. He was on an episode of TJ Hooker. Mm. He was on an episode of Airwolf, and he was on an episode of The Fall Guy.
Wow.
That is amazing.
That is pretty great.
That is a fantastic 80s TV career right there.
Yeah, that's a nice resume. I'd hire that guy for all those things. So check this out. When Rocky and Apollo are about to fight at the end there, Rocky says, Rocky says, boy, you really move good for an older guy. In real life, Carl Weathers is 2 years younger than Sylvester Stallone.
Really interesting.
Throwing it out there. And then it says here that for the role of Rocky, they almost hired Sylvester Stallone to be in that role. Interesting. I only say that because IMDb is always full of shit.
Yeah, they always say that. Yes. Yeah. They almost hired freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Rocky.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I had a little twinge of excitement when they got into that arcade in the beginning and Paulie was kind of
That was so good.
Perusing all the old arcade machines, the old video games.
Yeah. They even showed us
Paulie's drunken walk.
Quick screen grab of Crazy Climber, one of my favorite games of the early 80s. Yep. No one,
Star Castle.
Oh, Star Castle's so good.
I loved Star Castle.
Yeah. So Star good. Castle. Of all of those, I know you're a huge Tempest fan, but I think of all of those vector games, Vectors. I think that might be mine. I'd love Star Castle.
But let's talk about that pinball machine. That was a real thing.
Yeah,
real they machine. Destroyed a real Rocky pinball machine, and man, it just kills me because, like, now there's who knows how few there are that are up and working.
Oh yeah.
But if you want to buy one, you're gonna have to fork over like $10,000. Like those are special.
Yeah, they're
no, made... Pauly, no.
That was probably a broken one because like the lights didn't work. It was a whole bunch of problems with that thing.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe
then,
it was
then all of a sudden after he smashes it, numbers come up. I think it was broken.
Yeah. It was already broken.
That's what I want to say.
They were going to just trash it.
What I want to believe. Yeah, exactly.
Gottlieb made that in 82. I just put a link in our Discord if you want to see that thing up close, but yep. I think it was legit game. I think I've even played it once, but I've not seen one in years, so who knows.
I'm trying to pull it up, and all I still got is that thing that Ibbot sent from the porno thing. Thanks.
The Italians. Porno proibitio.
Let's try this again. There we go. Oh, look at that. That's smooth.
Yeah.
Like I said, apparently during the 80s, it was hard to capture Balboa's likeness. Everybody had trouble, apparently.
Yeah.
Doesn't
look like him.
Why is that? I mean, I've seen, what's his name? My favorite mad artist of all time, Mort Drucker, used to do a killer Stallone, but nobody else seemed to.
I don't understand why everybody in this movie is funny looking to me. Like, everybody. Talia Shire looks funny to me, and Burgess Meredith looks funny to me, and, like, everybody. Mr. T and Hulk Hogan are trying to look funny. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's not a person in this movie that's just, like, you know, plain.
It's 82, man. There's something up. There's something weird with 82 in general. And I don't mean just this movie. I mean, like, all across the board. That year made people look funny.
It definitely was a time before we had said, oh, no, all of our actors have to be super gorgeous and pretty. And it's like, no, Talia Shire is, like, a really good actress who maybe is not, you know, cover girl, cosmopolitan, whatever, supermodel, but is a good actress, good enough actress. And that was a time when we put a little bit more stock in that. I know I'm getting off my soapbox now.
No, stay on it, my friend. Hey, I thought the 70s had a lot of, I thought it was mid 80s when we started going back to pretty people, because the 70s.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, we also had different ideas of what was attractive in the 70s.
That, that old thing at Nick and Larry's house or whatever, his porny thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was just them kidding around, or like it was just sort of like erotic or something. Don't do an image search of that movie. Good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. That's there. That was full on. That's not.
Hey, you're forcing me to do an image search.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Look what you did. Look what you did.
Don't think of a white horse. Yeah. Oh, all I can think of is a white horse now.
Atreyu.
It's not good. I didn't want to go there, but I did. Oh, boy. All right. Well, there's that. That's a thing. Let's see. Any other trivia here that matters? No, not really. Okay. How about this? Where is it? I wrote, he sure. Okay, this goes to Randy's opener. He sure liked to fight black guys, I wrote.
It's the whole thing for the first three films. Like, that, the point of four is to get away from. And even four starts out by killing the black boxer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have just a racism problem. The first movie especially, because it's about a white heavyweight, you know, trying to overcome a system that's completely embodied by black men and always has been. Like, the heavyweight championship of the world has been held by black men, you know, 89 out of the last 100 years. And so, like, there's a racism problem, and then they don't do anything to fix it, right? In the second film, they just stick with it. And then in the third film, my gosh, I mean, the portrayal of Clubber Lang in this film, you know, nowadays would be considered very problematic. I'm sure at the time, no one really thought about it.
Yeah, that was my impression at the time, was that this is no big deal, but it's starting to look like Rocky only. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It's a weird, weird decision.
They were handpicked, Rocky, handpicked black people.
Because there are plenty of moments in Rocky films where there's lots of sort of inclusion, as if there is no racial divide or frustration or anything. Like, they're just.
But then there's
out.
The moment where what's his name, the brother-in-law, they go into the gym in L.A. and what's his name, Pauly, is just like getting really. I'm feeling like I'm going to say the N-word if you don't stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually good, because I felt like Stallone recognized that there was still, you know, that racial divide. But he kind of stood up for, you know, away from Pauly, saying, Pauly, no, come on, Pauly, be your family. But God, you're such a jerk.
Mm-hmm. But, yes. You can tell the character of Pauly means something to Stallone, because he's constantly returning to it and having
you can't
Balboa.
Pick your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's his brother-in-law, though.
Brother-in-law.
Right?
Yeah. So I guess you could, but then you'd have to.
I don't know. I feel like you get a little leeway on the brother-in-laws if he's really driving you nuts. Like, if you got a brother-in-law every Christmas just sits around talking about how he hates Indian people or something.
Yeah.
You can kind of avoid that guy. You don't have to.
You know what kind of broke for me, though, in that scene is the fact that Pauly was apparently playing what he quotes is the jungle music, but they never played it. There was playing, you know, Eye of the Tiger and other songs such as that. I'm like, I want to hear what you were listening to, please.
Yeah. jungle music.
That may have been an edit. Like they may have edited something. Because it was just, this is getting a little too close to outright racism. I can't get over though trying to put all of Stallone's films into one sort of idea, and it's something about the downside of masculinity, like in your head as the man who is the hero and has to use masculinity to do sort of aggressive things and be involved in conflicts, that there is this horrible downside. And it all kind of comes to a head in this film in the scene on the beach where he is listening to Talia Shire sort of break him down and do some therapy. And I just can't get over how that feels to me like the point of all of it. The Expendables, it's literally about how if you're so masculine and heroic, your life is not valuable. Like, you're expendable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's interesting. And he brushed on that less and less, though, as the sequels would come. So I appreciated that at the time, where he would look at the downside of those things. This movie's all about the downside of that masculinity, right? Like, thinking you're all that, but finding out, oh, they handpicked everybody and it was made to be easy and I'm not as good as I think I was. And like all of those things, those are great emotions to explore.
Yeah, he admits that he has fear and he doesn't know how to handle it in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's good stuff. That keeps coming up in all of his movies.
It's good stuff and it's good, it's vulnerable and it's all the things you want. But I feel like it got less and less of that as time went on, because by the time we got to 5, Rocky's a cartoon character. It may as well animate.
Well, they lose what is so important in this one, which is the emotions and the personal feelings. They think that it is just all about the boxing, because they, this is like we were saying, this is where the first film where they start steering more towards the boxing with like a little emotion, a little bit of backstory and inner turmoil. To kind of support it. The next movie is like, nope, boxing beats, kills Apollo Creed, and then now Rocky's got to box his way out of this situation.
Yep.
But there's still moments of self-reflection. Like Rambo 4 has it in all of them. Like I say, Rambo 4 has it in 08. The first Expendables movie has it, where you can tell that Stallone himself, not the character, but the actual living human, is trying to work through something about being a man and being a hero.
Yeah,
so
but he does that more in these later movies, though. I guess what I'm saying is, by the time we're done with Rocky 3 and he was moving through the Rambo sequels and more Rocky sequels, and then a lot of movies that just were, Judge Dredd and all that stuff and getting to the 90s and everything, I think he lost that thread. I think it came back with that Rambo 4 movie. It came back with Rocky Balboa. And I think the Expendables are a good example of it. It's like, all of the male machismo from the last 30 years is on display here, yet we're finding vulnerabilities. Like I feel like there was a turn in the mid-aughts where he just went, I'd like to get back to the heebie feelies a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not really a word. Made it up.
It is now.
Touchy feelies, heebie jeebies. It's a combination of the two.
Right. Yeah. Right into the Frog Pants Wikipedia you go.
I wonder how many I meant to look this up earlier. How many Stallone movies is this for us now? It's got to be.
It's on up there, my friend. You keep making them. We'll keep sacking them.
Let's let me look. Film Sack stats. This should have, assuming it's been updated. I don't know. Sylvester Stallone currently sitting at 13. And that includes today. So he is tied, actually, for Frank Welker, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Stallone, all at 13. The only person with higher is 18. Appearances by Thomas Rosales Jr., whoever that is.
Right.
Oh, Thomas Rosales.
Yeah. Oh.
We talked about him.
Who is he? I don't know. I can't think of who he is. What's his deal?
He's a bit actor that just keeps popping up in all of our movies.
Oh,
you'll recognize him when you look him up.
Okay, and a ton of them are in the movie, are in movies with these two. Like, he's in Commando, right, sure. He's in The Running Man, RoboCop 2, Predator 2, Universal Soldier,
Speed,
The Crow, Beverly Hills Cop. Like, he's all over the place. All right. Yeah, that guy's good. I still can't picture him in my head, but that's cool.
You'll recognize him when you see him.
That's what the IMDb is for.
I haven't looked in here recently. Oh, this is interesting. Director still led by Richard Donner at 8, John Carpenter at 6, Spielberg at 6, and Michael Bay at 5. That's your top 4.
Get with it, Michael Bay.
Joel Silver, number one producer at 16.
Or producer.
Yeah. Genres, we're at 250 for action. That's the highest. Our lowest is mystery at 53.
Hmm.
All right, I'll get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. I forget how great this site is. If you haven't gone to it, filmsackstats.com, listeners, this is where you want to go. And it's linked on our website as well, so you can go see these fun little numbers about our show. Time for some clips, I believe, and a number of them. This movie had lots of dumb stuff to say, and so I'm going to say it in the dumbest way possible. Here it is. Somebody really wants Balboa.
I want Balboa! You hear that, man? You tell my boy, come here, bro! Nobody can beat me! You tell him what I say! I eat next! I'm gonna kill him! Nobody can stop me! You tell Balboa that! I'm coming after him! You tell him!
Wow. That's the stuff Ibbot's talking about. He's just kind of making it up as he yells at him, please.
I will
the angry acting,
and I will tell him for the next 3 days while you don't have a voice.
Yeah. I know, right? You like he is losing his voice in that clip. Like, get Mr. T a Mr. Lozenge because that that's a Ludens. Get him a Ludens.
Get him a Mr. Ludens. That's awesome. All right, everything he does in his life should have a Mr. in front of it. Like Mr. He's got to have a Mr. Coffee in the morning. He's got.
I'm gonna have some Mr. Lemonade.
Yeah, Mr. Lemonade. Thirsty. How you doing, Mr. Lemonade?
I'm telling you.
Stop being a fool.
I have a rice cooker named Mr. Rice, and it makes me so happy.
Oh, that's great. And it should all have fake little mohawks. By the way, I don't know if you guys have seen The First Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Wonderful little film. Mm-hmm. He plays the sheriff in this town. And what's great about him is it's full-blown Mr. T all the time in the voice. But the guy in the cartoon has a reverse mohawk, so he's got like a slice down the middle of his head of baldness, and then on the outside, nice thick hair. It's great. Yeah, it's a very fun little nod.
That is one of the greatest animated films.
It's so good. The sequel is abysmal. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not.
First one's so good.
First one's a delight. Anyway,
because there's no chance of meatballs in the sequel, right?
There's no chance of good writing in the sequels. I don't know what happened. Somebody just.
Oh my god, the Cloudy with Chance of Meatballs. The scene where he's underneath. I think he's underneath the pier and the reporter sits down and she like throws her shoe like in his eye.
Yeah.
That made me, I had drink in my mouth and I lost it just everywhere.
It's really funny.
Just such a visual gag of him sitting there with his eyes, big old bugging out. And,
Bill Hader is the main character. He's great at that. The dad played by James Caan. Is this perfect, so grumpy... Oh, it's so good. Everyone go watch that movie. All right, here's a weird thing to say from Burgess Meredith.
You ever fight a dinosaur, kid?
All right.
That's my favorite. It's I totally lost all concentration once he said that. I'm like, oh, dinosaur. Like a T-Rex with little short arms and stuff and boxing gloves. I got to see that movie.
We've all seen the montage of Jonathan Frakes asking those questions, right?
Yeah.
I want Burgess Meredith now.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith mixed in with Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah. That Jonathan Frakes clip, mega clip, is special. If you haven't seen it, Dunaway, you should track that down.
I don't know if I've seen it. Wow.
It's very good. All right, here's Thunder Lips.
To all my love slaves out there. Thunderlips is here in the flesh, baby.
He's terrible in this.
I'm your love slave, and I'm back at your house tied up. Could you come let me loose?
Me too movement. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That was funny. That was very funny. Oh, my gosh, that made me laugh. He sucks, though. He's not a good dialogue guy. He's never been. Just a wrestler. Big, beefy guy.
He figures it out later in the 80s in the WWF. Like, he learns what his pace is supposed to be to talk into a mic.
Yeah.
And I think he's pretty good.
He never did in the movies, though. The movies of any kind he was
this
in.
This is horrible.
Yeah, it is bad. Makes me long for his great acting in Suburban Commando.
Yeah. Yeah. That incredible thespian work he did there.
Yes.
How about this? Thunderlips gone berserk. I like when people spell that or say it that way. So here we go.
Thunderlips has gone absolutely berserk.
Oh! Berserk.
Berserk. I've never actually seen that word, but I think that's how you say it.
Thunderlips has gone absolutely berserk.
Oh! Berserk.
No!
The audio in this thing, so overmodulated, it's just really bad. All right, here's... I don't know what it says. Here it is.
How you doing, Mick?
Oh.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty Man, good.
Watching
pretty
them good. Two have a face-to-face conversation is one of the most uncomfortable things you can experience.
Right?
Between yeah. him doing like Stallone doing this and then Mick talking out of the side of his mouth. And they're both just talking out of the sides of their mouth. It's
I expect if you went to dinner with the guy, I'd say, how's your soup? He'd go,
pretty good.
Like, that's all
pretty
it
good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't realize that he always talked like that. I thought it was just the Penguin, like talking out of one side
right,
of his mouth.
Right. No, that's his thing.
Maybe this is the character though, because like the whole point of this character is that he's an older trainer who has a crappy gym, and it, like Rocky coming along and hitting it big is the story of his entire life, right? Mm-hmm. He gets to hitch his wagon to Rocky Balboa, and he ends up living in a mansion as a result. And his entire life before that is in a gym screaming, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is like, I think Burgess Meredith is playing the character, and I think outside of this, he actually had a normal voice.
Mm. I was trying to find a clip, but I couldn't find it.
I find it hard to believe.
He was also, Burgess Meredith was in, it was a very quiet role in Clash of the Titans a year before this, where he played like
Why do I think he's in Grumpier Old Men?
Is he?
Okay.
Yeah, he plays the really old
the dad
guy, and he's got, like, he's super dirty. He wants to, like, get with all the ladies, and it's very funny. Yeah. He's very funny in that movie. I would actually recommend watching that. I don't know if it's Dirtier Old Men or not. Sorry, not Angry or
Grumpy Old Men. There's Grumpier Old Men.
Grumpier Old Men was the sequel. Yeah.
I think the sequel's what he's in.
Yeah, he's. I think he's in both, but I think he has a bigger role in part two.
And it's right before he dies, and there is in real life he made that movie.
And he dies in the film too, doesn't he?
I don't know. I don't remember. But the final credits of that movie are all him delivering dirty lines.
Yeah.
It is the funniest montage of old man doing dirty lines you've ever heard. It's very funny. That's got to be out there somewhere in clip form.
Yeah,
somewhere. All right. What else here? You'd say, hey, how was Stallone in that Naked movie?
Pretty good.
Okay, great. pretty good.
I love this.
Pretty good.
But
pretty good.
You just need a whole soundboard of affirmatives and negatives.
Yeah. All my yeses and no and stuff like that. I like it. All right, how's this one? Oh, this is a bit of a mumble. I don't know what he says still. Here you go.
That's really hard to just feel like a bum.
But what?
I feel like really? A bum?
I feel like a bum? Is that what he said?
Yeah, I feel like a bum. They talk about that a lot. Here's really a bum. Hey, you bum. You bum.
Feel like a bum.
I feel like
I don't
bum.
Sweat bums.
All right. Here's a great line. I played it earlier.
Shut up, old man. I ain't going nowhere.
I like that.
Yeah.
Here's Mr. T playing hardball.
Bring your pretty little self over to my apartment tonight, and I'll show you a real man.
Jeez.
He's gonna... That's when his mom punched him.
Yeah. And then here's what Pretty Good said about that.
This guy will kill you to death inside of 3 rounds.
I love
that. Kill you to death.
How do you kill someone to death? Like, can you stop killing them before they die?
Yeah. Like, how does that work?
Kill you almost to death.
How does it work? All right. Here's Creed or something with Creed.
Come on, Creed.
Oh. Come on, Creed.
Give me a jump.
Come on, Creed.
Pretty good.
All right. Let's see.
I love the clips from this movie.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's something about dead meat.
Dead meat.
Okay. That was the first thing.
And they was real close up on that, too. It was like.
Yeah.
Now, I will admit the following clip has some edits. It's just to relieve us of some of the dead space because it's really funny when you mush it all together. Okay. So this is. Stallone, he's very upset, and this is what that sounds like.
I'm okay with the blubbering because if you ever lost somebody, you've said it's everybody makes different sounds when it's absolute grief.
Well, plus his face has been bashed in and he's all blubbery on his
face.
But
the part that bothered me the most about that scene is I was like, did they add the audio in post? Because if not, he is yelling right in. To Mick's ear.
Yes, so he's like, yelling into Burgess Meredith's left ear. Yes.
Yes.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And he says, how well can you hear me?
Pretty good.
All right, great.
Not anymore. I'm deaf.
And that's his good ear. You might right. recall his other ear is the one that he's deaf in. So like you imagine Burgess Meredith was wearing a hell of an earplug in that scene because Stallone is screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd wince too. Like you'd see some like, oh man, quit yelling in my ear, Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's old enough that he doesn't wince anymore. You know how that's a thing when people get really old, they no longer can get startled.
Sure.
Right. By the way, do we have another example of an somebody who became like Hollywood megastar level, like Stallone did, that started with a dirty little porn movie? Do we have anybody else like that?
Sure. I'm sure just about everybody. That's the lowest.
Tracy Lords, maybe? I don't know.
That's the lowest rung of the ladder in Hollywood,
she
right?
Was, Tracy Lords was never a megastar, ever. She was
never
just,
a megastar, no.
No, no. She tried to do the crossover, but it was brief. I feel like it's got to be somebody, but it had to be at that level. Like, he's one of the most successful actors, directors, producers, creators in the history of the genre, so or of film. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with him and a bunch of naked ladies. I'm just trying to think of anybody else who's like that, and I can't think of anyone.
Allegedly, Duchovny started in a porn. I don't know.
Nice.
Read your diaries?
No, but that was pretty porny, that thing.
But Duchovny never reached this level. Stallone is in a rarefied tier.
It's a weird outlier. He may be alone in this. There may be nobody else quite like that. You'd have to tell me, you know, Schwarzenegger started in a small porno or something for me.
Well, I guess talked about how, because that was that Pumping Iron film before he did the other things.
Yeah, that felt like porn.
Kind of did.
Right.
That's true. It did. Yeah. It felt like some weird homoerotic experiment. All right. Here's, I hate this delivery. This is awful line, but this is when he realizes Apollo's in the gym with him. So here's that.
Apollo? Right.
Why? You don't say that. If your friend's in there and you see his silhouette and you go, I go, Brian, you don't go, right.
Right. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Right. But we're not that cool.
I was annoyed by that. Anyway.
So I looked it up, and the number two and number three top stars that started in something mildly pornographic are Jackie Chan and Cameron Diaz.
Jackie together? Chan? Yeah.
Come on.
Apparently, Jackie Chan's first.
This is IMDb helpful trivia facts that you made up.
Let's see. What would that be called? I'm not trying to help people find it or anything, but
it was again mildly pornographic. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Well. Oh, and Cameron Diaz. Why her? What's her deal? That seems bad.
Why not?
I don't know.
Like I said, if you have an in, I think if you have an in to Hollywood, you're good. But if otherwise, you have to start at the lowest rung, right? Isn't that the
maybe? I don't know how it works. Is that the lowest rung then? Is that our determination?
I can't think of anything lower. Can you?
Snuff film, maybe.
Oh, okay, man.
Like you killed somebody on camera.
No, nobody. I don't think you start after that. I think that's
Ernest.
I think that's
Ernest goes to film.
Yeah, one of the Ernest movies.
Man, I sure hope after this I could get into a porn
or at least a snuff film, working my way up.
Right.
Here's a, I don't know what this is. I wrote song and then a word that doesn't spell anything, so I think I typoed this, and so let's see what it is.
You had that eye of the tiger, man, the itch.
Oh, I know what it was. He was mentioning the tiger, or the song.
Edge didn't do anything twice, with this too.
Song tie-in. I spelled tie-in wrong.
Wasn't listening to U2 then. How's he? Yeah.
Gotcha. Rocky's. Oh, here's Sylvester Stallone doing a long sniff and a whistle, and I captured it. Okay. You know how people, if they got a really plugged up nose and they just.
Yeah.
Okay. I got one of those. Here you go. Enjoy.
That's how boxers broke nose about 10 times.
Oh, maybe invest it. Was Flonase around back then?
Yeah. I don't know why that's funny to me, but it is.
I hate to ask, but can we hear it again?
Yeah, it's all right. Here you go. It's the inhale that you want to really focus on. Yeah. It's really strong stuff. I love it. All right. This is a real bad thing to say.
I'm going to crucify him real bad.
Hard words.
Yeah, hard words.
From a hard man.
From a hard man, he says. Yeah, I should have kept that part. I didn't.
Yikes.
Here's angry acting Apollo.
Man, what the hell are you doing? Ooh. This guy will knock you on your ass.
I don't think the mics we rented are good enough for this. They're all breaking up at the top end. All right, here's something I wrote. I just wrote dumb. Okay, I don't know what this is, but I wrote dumb. Here you go.
He didn't have to carry me and lie to me and make me think I was better than I really was when I wasn't.
This is a dumb line.
Am I talking in circles? I think I need to sit down.
Your Honor, I present to you Exhibit A. This film has no script.
Yeah. I think you might be more right than initially we thought. All right, here's the thing about being cool.
Hey, fool, you ready for another beating? You should have never came back.
Don't look at me. Let's just be cool.
All right, then.
Be cool, bro. Be cool.
Then he did this.
I thought you said be cool.
That was cool.
That was cool. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Here's also something that is just way underwhelming. Like, if he's going to come up and say, I'm going to bust you up or I'm going to tear you to pieces or whatever his threat is at the end, you don't just say this.
Go for it.
Lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, perfect opportunity for a comeback. I'm going to beat you to pieces. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to go for it.
Go for it.
I thought I was going to say just do it because Nike was sponsoring the crap out of this film.
Oh, yeah. It was all over shorts and stuff.
Maybe it was a little early. Maybe Nike was still working on that line.
I don't think it was a line yet. Was
go
it?
For it.
I think just do it was later. Maybe the Nike
That's
line.
They were working on it. It was early.
Oh,
was
you're
early
saying this was like a test one. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Nike. Go for it.
Yeah. I wonder if this movie is early enough that all the product placement is considered gratuitous because, like, at some point, you had to pay to get Rolex and so on, like all those things in your movie.
Yeah.
You know, and like this feels extreme. Every scene has tons of product.
Might have been too early for that, but also it's a weird mix, right? Of some companies want you to pay them, and then there are other companies that want to pay you to showcase their stuff. I don't know where that line is.
I guess whoever's got the leverage, right?
Yeah, because right now
we got Rocky III movie. Come on.
If you want to have an Apple laptop with the Apple logo in it, you pay Apple, not the other way around. But if you want Coke in your movie, Coke pays you to put it in there. So those are two big companies with a lot of leverage.
Moshe, Coke pays you.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
In Soviet Cola War, Coke pays you. All right, here's a ding ding.
Ding ding.
That means we're done with clips.
I actually enjoyed that. That was kind of
charming. It was all right. It was okay. But here's this now. The Film Sack checklist. Horrible overmodulated hit sounds and yells. Check. Best homoerotic run on the beach. Check. Seriously, why keep Polly around at all? Check. All right.
It keeps sounding like you're saying a homoerotic.
I thought he was. Yeah, I thought it was a play. Was it not a play on words? I thought it was a
homoerotic. Okay. I think if I say it fast, homoerotic. Yeah, you're right. I do. I say homoerotic.
Yeah.
It's not just for the food, Marge. They're not for the sex, Marge. It's for the food preparation. That's homoerotic. All right. Star Trek Connection, we have a few. Tom Lupo, he played one of the opponents. He played a security guard on the original series. Rex Pearson, he played another challenger, another opponent. He was on TNG three different times as different characters.
My mom named me Rex.
Rex is cool. Rex Dunaway. Rex. Well, that's pretty good. David Cadenetti, he was another opponent. He played a Klingon in Star Trek III Search for Spock. And then finally, Bob Miner. He was also one of those montage boxing challengers. In DS9, he played Boak, in the episode Visionary.
What?
He was also Michael Dorn's stunt double in the fifth season of that show. So there was that.
Please tell me he played Big Yank Ball.
It doesn't say. It just says a challenger. Although Daryl didn't go that deep, but maybe he's Big Yank Ball. Could be.
Big Yank Ball.
Yep. Very well could Best. Be. That's soundtrack great. Grade, I give it a C for cheese. It's just a lot of cheese. Some cheese in there.
Okay.
Like the... when he wins. Yeah. It's just like a disco song. I know, but it's like a disco song. It sucks.
Yeah. It sucks, but it took me there every time. It was just like, this is the appropriate music for this film.
It had that little beat in the background. It's awful.
I don't know why, but what the song you're singing reminds me of the HBO... the old HBO music is here.
It is that. It is kind of that, isn't it?
I did when I would hear that. Oh my gosh.
As you descend into the city right up to the movie theater.
Yeah. It felt like you were seeing something cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's white noise. Jeez.
The HBO startup sounds are second only to PlayStation startup sounds for me.
I don't like the static one.
Well, here's the other problem with the static one.
The GameCube was pretty cool.
here's what's bad about the HBO one now. The static thing doesn't. There, so much of this stuff is streamed now. Like people using HBO Go or Max or whatever's coming out.
Yeah,
it looks artifacty and shitty. It looks terrible.
So yeah, the compression can't pick up all those pixelations.
They need to fix it. It's bad. Bad form, guys. Bad form. All right. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 280 characters or less sum this film up in the only way you know how. Let's start with Randy.
Rocky 3. Mo' money, mo' problems. But remember, you can always travel to a place where when you walk down a dirty alleyway and then that's the entrance and you go inside and about 4 dozen oily, sweaty people all stop grunting and look at you.
Just
like Saturday Night.
I smelled it coming a block away. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
Rocky 3. It could have been better with a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Well, sure. That goes without saying, doesn't it?
Isn't everything better with a T-Rex?
But does it?
I think everything's better with a T-Rex. That's where I'm voting. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Rocky 3, a movie where Polly throws a bottle at a Rocky pinball machine, Rocky throws a helmet at a Rocky statue, and Mr. T throws a punch at Rocky's face. Man, that Rocky can't catch a break.
Hashtag blessed.
Catch, throw.
I got it.
Nice job. Oh, just hand it to me. Piece of paper supposedly contains the two secret, this was almost titled. So these are alternative titles. Not Rocky 3, but something else. And here's the first one. That one didn't pass mustard, turns out. They didn't want to use that. And then finally, the Italian stale man. I don't know what that means.
It was very late.
I was tired. I just did what I had to do. All right. We have an email we like to read on the show. We read them every week. And we got one from, Icor, Kevin. We see him a lot in chat rooms and stuff. Yeah. Says, hey, Sackers, I was glad to hear that some of you wanted to read Cloud Atlas after seeing the film. You will find that the book will give you some of the things you were asking for. Specifically, the stories are told more consecutively and not sliced up. Each story, starting with the furthest in the past, tells half the story, then moves to the next time period and so on. The future Hawaii story is told in one entire book, or block rather, and then goes back in time to complete every other story, ending where we started in the past. It also, I would also recommend the audiobook. Each segment is told using voices and accents of the time. The performances are very good. I preferred the future Hawaiian accent in the audiobook over the one they use in the film. Finally, I think you will get some more out of the book having seen the film. The book just throws you into a story and doesn't explain anything. You have to figure it out on your own. This can be jarring when switching time periods. Now that you know the basic plots and characters, you'll be able to keep up much easier. Happy Sacking, Kevin. That's great advice. I actually bought the book. It's on my Kindle, sitting there, waiting to be read. Oh, yeah. Cool.
The regular, the printed, printed Kindle.
Yeah.
As opposed to audiobook.
Correct. No audiobook in this case, but he does, now he says this, it makes me wonder how that audiobook is. I guess the way it works now, if you have a Audible account, it can sync. So if you're reading on your thing.
Not every title, but some titles do that. And also usually get a break on the price if you already own the physical book.
Yeah, if you're doing the book and then they say, you already have this, do you want to get a discount on the other thing? The only thing I don't like about Audible is it's $15 a month or $14 a month or whatever it is, or $19, whatever it is. And then you still have to buy the books, which sucks.
Well, yeah, but I buy the books on occasion, and then I usually turn my account to $9 a year, I think it is. So it keeps it open so you can still access the books. But you just, I'll go through a little spell where I'm like, I got to have audiobooks. And then I'll buy them. Then $10 a year keeps it open.
Audiobooks are so expensive, and I know why they are. They're productions, right? Even if it's just a guy reading it.
Six and 8 hours, or more.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Listening.
So yeah, I just always seem like such an expensive proposition, but whatever. Anyway, I'll let everybody know what I think of that book. I am going to crack that thing open at some time.
Cool.
That email address to send your messages in, just like Icor did, you can send them to filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film is a little Kit Harington movie. You may know him from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you may have forgotten about him.
Yeah, maybe. It's called MI5, and if you're thinking it's Mission Impossible 5, you're wrong.
Kind of.
Well, you're wrong. Yeah, right. You're also not that wrong.
Yeah. If you look at the poster, you squint a little, you might think that's even Tom Cruise because it uses the same color that those posters use.
That was the intent.
Yeah.
Of the creators.
Seems like to me they were trying to really rope people in thinking they were going to get another Mission Impossible movie, but really what they were getting is young upstart Kit Harington in a movie about, I suppose, the actual MI5 service or
based on a true story, kind of. I'm not sure. I like everything about this is fishy. We're watching it because it's streaming on Netflix and everything is fishy.
Is it pre Game of Thrones or during Game of Thrones? This thing,
yeah, this is like after the third season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, mid Game of Thrones is my memory of that.
Okay,
so I will watch this. And we will all watch it. And
we're all going to watch it because that's the rule.
Yep. It's a little
that's
side
the agreement we entered into.
This one's a dangerous one because it's a little bit of sight unseen, right? We don't really know what we're getting into. Yeah. So haven't done that in a while. This will be fun to dig into Kit Harington's MI5, available now on Netflix. So check it and be ready for next week. Do your homework, everybody. That is going to do it for us. Filmsack.com is our website. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. As always, email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you can find us at Filmsack. And if you're looking around for ways to help us, check this out. Just go to wherever you get your shows and leave us a review. It helps in big ways. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Nana bum.
We'll see you next time.
Nana bum, man.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Pretty good.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.